Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Pony Stampede podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Billy Embody. Look, first and foremost, we got to jump into the SMU-TCU game being canceled, and we're going to do just that. We are also going to answer your subscriber questions, as well as preview the next position on our list for the 2020 season, and that is outside linebacker. So we're going to jump into those three things today and get you out the door for a great weekend ahead. I will be around a little bit, a tad, this weekend on the Pony Stampede boards, but I will also be in Austin for a little vacation, a little bachelor party for one of my friends. So we're going to kind of get together and do a little COVID-friendly bachelor party. We got a little boat on the lake. We got our own house. Everybody's been good leading up to this. We got a bus down there, and we're going to do it safe for those wondering. And anyway, I'll be around the board a little bit. We've got some content already planned for you guys, so check it out on Pony Stampede as we're doing 50% off annual subscriptions. And we'll be back at it on Monday as SMU will move into week two of fall camp, as they started on Monday because they moved up the Texas State game and could get underway. And now they really can focus all their attention on Texas State, a little bit on North Texas and SFA. And SMU now has to find a fourth non-conference game as well because TCU is no longer on SMU's schedule. The Big 12 did rule that they were going to do a 9-game conference-only schedule with a one non-conference game model, but that one non-conference game had to be played at home. So SMU, who is expected to host TCU this year, no longer. SMU did offer up the chance to flip-flop the games and have the Mustangs come to Fort Worth for the second straight year and play the game over there in 2020 and have the Frogs come over to SMU in 2021 and 2022, but that won't be the case. And so here we are, no battle for the Iron Skillet for the first time since 2006 in what would have been the 100th edition of the Battle for the Iron Skillet. So it does stay in Dallas another year after SMU beat TCU last year. But here's the thing, and I fielded a lot of subscriber questions on this, and I think I'm going to do an okay job of answering this as best I can, and then I'll at least share my guesses at who SMU would replace TCU with on the schedule. And so let's get into it. I think, one, TCU said that they have a contract with Tennessee Tech to be the home non-conference game for them, and they had it in place before the Big 12 made their ruling. And I believe that. If you don't, you can Freedom of Information Act the contract whenever it gets executed or what have you, and it's there because Tennessee Tech is a public university. So if you don't believe the TCU side of things, you can either expose them or, you know, find out that what they said is true. And that came with a buyout, a hefty buyout, allegedly. Again, you can Freedom of Information Act that. And so that took care of TCU's home non-conference game, and they had already lost a couple of those with some of the other schools canceling games and canceling seasons and whatnot. So I think TCU's excuse is kind of valid. You know, I think this was a game that could have been played. I think at the end of the day, TCU was in a hurry to get games on the schedule, and they did. But you can't also say that, you can't not say that TCU isn't excited that they don't have SMU on the schedule this year. Because Gary Patterson knows what he has coming back. And look, they did a good job this offseason adding some pieces. They beat SMU out on some defensive recruits especially. They landed Savion Williams. They landed some junior college help. They added five-star running back Zach Evans. They added former five-star defender Marcel Brooks. But at the end of the day, this team is going to go as Max Duggan goes. And right now, that is a big question mark going into year two of him as a starting quarterback. And some of these guys that they did bring into the program last year in one of the better TCU recruiting classes in a while aren't necessarily going to contribute right away. They have two of the best safeties in the country, two of the best defensive backs in the country. They have some pieces, without a doubt. And TCU's always done a good job in Gary Patterson's bad years of bouncing back and having a good year. I don't necessarily think that's going to be the case this year. And so getting an SMU team that has Shane Buechele back, Kylan Granson back, Reggie Robertson back, they added Danny Gray, who they flipped from TCU, and TCU knows how good Danny Gray is. I mean, if you haven't been out to practice, which don't get close to the team, but you can walk by, the fence is, you know, there if you've ever been out to SMU practice. Danny Gray is the real deal. They have a ton of talent on offense. Their depth on the offensive line is improved. They've got four or five starters back as well, and some of those starters aren't etched in stone either. Defensively, they have two of the best corners in the AAC back. They have a veteran linebacker group. They have a good defensive line, and the question mark is certainly safety, and we'll see how it goes. But Jalen Rager's not there anymore, so you really don't have to double cover anyone at TCU anymore like you probably had to do a little bit of with Rager on the field. And TCU probably doesn't want to play this game. It's not anything that's surprising. And so there's always going to be two sides of this. You know, should SMU have done this or that or whatever? Look, SMU deserved to have this home game in a normal year and all of that. There's no question about that. And I would have picked SMU to beat TCU straight up. But with everything going on, you just got to accept that this year just sucks. And COVID-19 sucks, and all this stuff sucks. And so this is just the latest casualty of it. And so that's kind of my opinion on it, is that you can't sit there and cry about it and figure it out. But you can also recognize that TCU kind of ducked SMU this year. And it worked out for them. They have a legitimate, you know, reason. And Tennessee Tech being contracted to come to Fort Worth and play their one home non-conference game. But there's no doubt that TCU wanted no part of going over to Dallas or really going to play SMU this year. It's a motivated SMU team that finished their season off very, very poor. And they have pieces to go ahead and win the Iron Skillet for the second straight year. So you could see the two sides of it. I think Rick Hart did a great job handling this. It is what it is. And that's the thing about it, is you can't sit there and as much as you'd love to nitpick and do all this stuff, it is what it is in 2020. And I don't know if the Big 12 would have handed down this decision last week. I mean, maybe the contract isn't executed between Tennessee Tech and TCU and there's a game. But at the end of the day, this year is just kind of, you know, a thorn in everyone's side. And I think SMU did a good job trying to get the game played, and TCU has a reason, but ultimately TCU's pretty happy that they're not facing SMU this year with all the weapons that SMU has coming back and with all the uncertainty TCU has offensively. This is a year that SMU very well could have beaten TCU for the second straight year. Now, looking ahead, SMU now has an open spot on the non-conference slate. And so here are a few teams, and kind of ranging in three levels, I would say. I think one team is UTSA. Okay, they lost a game against LSU. I'm not too familiar with the rest of their schedule, but just talking with a couple sources, I do know that the door is at least open for that game to potentially happen. We'll see. I don't think it's anywhere near happening right now, but it's an in-state option. It's a safe option. They'd probably come to SMU, and so that's something to watch. And then I'd look at Texas Tech and look at them and say, hey, this could be one that could happen. Their game against UTEP, I believe, can't happen because it was on the road in El Paso. And everyone loves to complain about SMU scheduling, but how about a Big 12 team going to El Paso to play UTEP on the road? So that one is certainly, unless they move it to Lubbock, it's not going to happen. So that would leave a door open for SMU to play Texas Tech, who's lost a couple other home non-conference games. Then I think you drop down, way down, and you just try to get another game in there. I mean, it could be FCS. I know Nicholls State, you know, can't play LSU this year, so they've got an open game. They would probably come to Dallas. It'd be a bye game. I think there are a few other in-state programs that probably will have the same issue at the FCS or super low level level of competition. Rice lost a game against LSU that was supposed to be a neutral site game against Houston. So there are some regional ones that could potentially whet the appetite just to get a game in, because I do think SMU wants to play a 12-game schedule. They've got their best team, even, you know, counting last year, they've got their best team since the 1980s, and they want to see this team on the field as much as possible. And I think they want to give that to the players too, because if SMU could stay healthy and navigate this the right way, which it seems like they are so far, this has a chance to be really special. But it's also a chance for a lot of these guys like Shane Buechele, Reggie Robertson, Kylan Granson, some of the linemen and some of the linebackers and Brandon Stevens at corner to really show their stuff for the next level. So that's another part of it that it has to be taken into consideration. These players have prepared for this as best they can through unreal circumstances to have a chance to show what they can do at the next level in their final years. So give them the most opportunities to do it. What it looks like now without TCU on the schedule, not so sure. But give them the most amount of opportunities to play games. And I think that's what SMU is going to try to do. They've got some flexibility now. They have an open date on September 5th, and they have an open date on September 26th. The thing about the one against on September 26th, it is right before Memphis on what would be a short week on October 1st to open the AAC schedule against the Tigers at home in Dallas. I would imagine SMU would love to fill the September 5th spot with a non-conference game versus the September 26th spot and have almost 2 weeks to prepare for Memphis. And not only that, but if something were to happen against North Texas, you know, COVID-related, that would give them almost 2 weeks to get everybody with negative tests. So think about that. Be something to monitor. We're going to move on now to the subscriber Q&A portion. And we only have a few because most everyone kind of trolled TCU in our beautiful podcast questions thread on Pony Stampede. And I want to lead off with one that's kind of quick to answer. And how many spots does SMU have for last minute transfers to come in before the first day of classes? They've got a few. They've got a few spots. I don't know the exact number, but they do have enough room to have a few transfers come in. I know Sonny Dykes has said they think they're going to end up getting a few transfers. I think that's a good bet, especially with the way this program has been run over the course of the last few years. So it's something to monitor. We'll see. I do think it wouldn't shock me if some of these players realize once they're at school and kind of how the season is beginning to unfold that they could enter the transfer portal pretty quickly at their own school. So it could stretch into the season and SMU could save those spots, so to speak, as well. But they've got some spots available, yes. In terms of the AAC tiebreakers in the event of a tie where the season ended early, I think it would just defer to the same tiebreakers as it is. It would be, your conference record. And then I don't know the tiebreakers off the top of my head in terms of when it gets to three and maybe four teams, but it'd certainly be conference record. And then if you have a ranking, I believe that's involved as well. And then it probably comes down to point differential. I'll have to check on that, but I don't think they're any different than if the season, you know, ran its course. Looking at the recruiting side of things with Ketron Jackson and JJ Henry, now seeming to be out of reach. What are the receivers SMU is going after besides Jerran Bradley at DeSoto? So Keytron Jackson is trending to Texas on the 24/7 Sports Crystal Ball. J.J. Henry is, I think, headed elsewhere in all likelihood, but we'll see how his recruitment plays out. SMU is still in contact with both. They've had them on Zooms and everything like that. And then Jerran Bradley is the big DeSoto wide receiver who SMU is trying to flip from Texas Tech. I don't think they're really going after many other receivers. I say that pretty confidently. I think that's the trio they're going after. And from there, one, you got to feel really good about where SMU's receiver room stands. I don't think they need to sit there and try to get another receiver that, who knows, could, you know, flake out or won't be good enough or whatever, because you've got so much talent in that room right now and a lot of young talent too. That with Dylan Goffney, who they love, Jalen Record, who they love as well, coming in right now, that's a good start. And then if they can end up with a Jerran Bradley, I mean, that they'd be thrilled. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you've got TQ Jackson in there now as a young receiver, and you've got Rashee Rice and Calvin Wiggins and Kiki Burns and Thad Johnson. And, you know, it's a talented receiver room without a question. And then another recruiting-related question is in terms of the SMU-Houston game, how much of these recruits really care who's winning straight up between the two schools? I don't think very many, quite frankly. I think it's more of a direction of the program type of thing. And, I mean, take Remington Strickland or Joseph Amos, for example. Those two guys appear to be kind of SMU-Houston battles at this point. But I'm not so sure the game would really matter that much to them, because I think both realize the two programs are kind of in different places right now, and they also just kind of run things differently. You know, it just it's more of a feel thing. I mean, unless they're really, you know, beating the heck out of them and things like that. I mean, last year's game was competitive. The series has generally been competitive over the last 5 years, and you know, SMU's won, I believe, the majority of them. I could be wrong. But it's, you know, it just both programs, even though like Houston took the reset year, you know, that can kind of be used to counteract any win by SMU. I think at this level, kids can kind of be, and I've seen this nationally just overall, kids are a little less inclined to sit there and be like, oh man, like SMU beat Houston for a second straight year. Like, I'm not going to go there. Or look at Danny Gray. I mean, for the, you know, While SMU beat TCU for the first time in a while, you know, I don't think that game sealed it for him to go to SMU. And I think what they were doing offensively overall and the direction that they were going in was more of what he was all about. So I don't think the individual matchups are as big, as important in the eyes of these recruits as some may think. But, you know, it can't hurt you to, you know, keep beating one of your rivals. Kind of some scheme questions here for SMU. Some teams use receivers in the backfield to run the ball, as Memphis did with great success against us last season. Which of our current receivers do you think would be a candidate for doing that now? Well, I don't think Memphis did that. Antonio Gibson is 6 foot 228, and he's a running back. He just plays a lot in the slot because he's got elite speed and he's versatile. And it would be, I mean, you know, Kenny Gainwell, he's a running back. So it's, but you're starting to see this position, not versatility, but just trying to create mismatches a little bit more. And I think you could put you just put your best athlete there. It's not as much a height weight thing, and that's why Antonio Gibson's a hell of a slot receiver and also a hell of a running back. It doesn't take a position for him to do it and just kind of end up, you know, they didn't just play him at running back and he had success. It was he's a hell of a football player and he can just do it. So I think, I mean, Danny Gray could do it. Thad Johnson could do it. Rashee Rice could probably do it. Those are a couple of the guys that I would just kind of spotlight. James Prochet could have done it. Those are a couple of the guys that you know, I can see doing that. Ulysses Bentley, if he's comfortable catching the football, which he's in his second year at running back, you know, after playing quarterback in high school, he's a guy with the speed to do what Antonio Gibson did. He's just a little bit shorter in build, but he's pretty thick too. So I think those are a couple of the guys that SMU could do it with, but I don't think it's like a, you know, we're lining up a running back. You know, Memphis was lining up a receiver in the running back position. I mean, he's a running back. He can play it, and they had Kenny Gainwell, and that's kind of why, you know, he played a little bit more receiver than he did last year. Finally, what's more likely, the Mavs winning the ship in the bubble, SMU winning the AAC championship and Shane's final year on the Hilltop? I'll go SMU winning the AAC because I could not care less about the NBA in general, so I have no idea how good the Mavs are. I mean, all I know is like Luka's on the team, and that's about it. So the NBA can go fly a kite. As far as there's a few top-tier draft-eligible guys at other programs sitting out the season. Any chance we have guys sit out for the draft for other reasons, health, safety, et cetera? Doesn't seem like it. All the guys are in camp and ready to go, so it would be kind of a total turn, I think, for that to happen. Update on this year's NFL draft signees from SMU. I mean, they're all just entering camp, so there's really not much to share. James Prochet got his first picture taken in a Baltimore Ravens uniform. And then whatever happened with Pat Nelson, he hasn't been signed yet. I mean, it's a weird deal. I don't understand if Pat has a some sort of red flag on a physical or anything like that, but it's bizarre, and it sucks. I mean, hopefully he can catch on somewhere, but that's it on him. I think that is it for our question portion of the pod. And we will take a quick break from the Pony Stampede podcast, and we will come back and we will quickly preview the outside linebacker position. So stay with us, and we'll be right back after this quick break.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's petmeds.com and promo code podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Pony Stampede podcast. Thanks for listening. Quick reminder, guys, to leave us a rating, leave us a review, and subscribe to the podcast. If you leave us a question in the reviews, we might just answer it on the pod. And also, again, 50% off annual subscriptions to Pony Stampede. So during all this time, I mean, sports are coming back, but you need your fix on SMU football leading up to the season. Fall camp is closed, guys. It's closed to the media. So what better place to get all your VIP scoop on what's actually going on at practice and with the team than at Pony Stampede? I can tell you guys right now, we've dropped already like 3 VIP stories on what's going on behind the walls of fall camp. We've got you covered on recruiting. We're the only site that has talked to Sonny Dykes since fall camp has started. So why not subscribe? Appreciate you guys that have done so already. Now, moving on to the outside linebacker room. This shouldn't take long, but this is a position that is very, very, very competitive in fall camp. This is one that I am watching with really, really significant interest because SMU has to replace Patrick Nelson at one of the spots, and they have Delano Robinson returning at the other, which is terrific for SMU. He's one of their unsung heroes on defense. I believe that he's one of the better players. When he wasn't out there, it was a big difference, and that's no disrespect to Shane Haley, but that's just what Delano Robinson brings to the field for SMU. Now, you look at what they've got at outside linebacker now. You've got Delano Robinson as the clear-cut starter over there on the regular outside linebacker spot, so I guess that would be the Will in SMU's defense. And then Shane Haley's behind him. And then also in the mix there, I would say you've got Jimmy Phillips in that mix. You've probably got JC Wristpress in there. So you've got some depth. You've got some guys that have been around. And then as far as the Fox position where Patrick Nelson played, this is where it gets interesting because you've got Trevor Denbow who moved down from safety. You've got Cameron Jones, who transferred last year. He played safety, tore his ACL late in the year. He's still recovering, getting back to full speed, but he's now at that outside linebacker spot. And then you've got Ty DeArmond, who transferred from Oklahoma back to his native DFW area. And then, you've probably got some other guys that they can mix in there, like a JC Wristpress or Jimmy Phillips, and compete. This position is, I think Trevor Denbow is probably going to end up starting at this position. And he's physical, he's fast, he's athletic. We've known all those things. I think he struggled a little bit in coverage playing safety. And that was just something he wasn't, quite frankly, he wasn't that good at. And he also had the struggles with ejections at times during his SMU career. But putting him in the box and allowing him to just either go get the quarterback like Patrick Nelson did, or maybe be close to the line of scrimmage, allows him to use that athleticism and use that physicality and bring something to the table. Now, will he be able to replicate what Patrick Nelson did? Probably not. Not many people are going to be able to put that together and do what Patrick Nelson did last year. But he's got the athleticism to contribute. And when you look at the linebacking core, and not to bring in the middle linebackers, which we previewed earlier on the podcast an episode or two ago, when you've got Richard Moore and Richard McBride out there, that's a pretty good middle linebacker spot, and you've got to set these edges. And with Delano Robinson being as steady as he is, Trevor Denbow being pretty strong at that position, I think physically, he's got a chance to contribute much more in a positive manner than he probably did at safety, where you've got Chase Cromartie and Chevin Callaway emerging as the starters, it appears, so far in fall camp. So Trevor Denbow is probably, if I were to name an X factor on this SMU defense, it'd be Trevor Denbow. He's got the athleticism, he's got the experience now, and he's got the physicality. The guy loves to hit. I mean, you watched him and he lines somebody up, he does love to hit. He needs to wrap up a little bit better. Last year, I believe he was dealing with a shoulder injury and he was nicked up, and so he kind of didn't finish tackles as well as he should have. If he's healthy, if he's ready to go, being up closer to the line of scrimmage, sometimes you don't have as much time to think about what you're doing, which is good. You know, sometimes you try to line up a big hit or throw a shoulder in a guy at the safety position. Doesn't have to do that this year. He's up close to the line of scrimmage. He can make plays and he can go get the quarterback. He should be one of the quicker guys that offensive tackles in the AAC have to deal with off the edge when they do bring him on the blitz, which should be fun to watch. When you factor in Nelson Paul and Toby and Duckway and Turner Cox and some of these other defensive ends SMU has, should be very, very fun to watch Kevin Kane kind of scheme some blitzes and stunts and things like that with Trevor Denbow and some of those other guys trying to bring the heat. So Trevor Denbow is my X factor, quite frankly, on SMU's defense. If he brings what I think he can bring when he's at his best, that should be a huge help to the SMU linebacker room, and that will allow so much more to be able to be done by Kevin Kane and this defensive staff as they coordinate the defense. Now, I think the biggest concern, of course, is does he not make the adjustment? So then you look to a Cameron Jones who maybe will be healthy, fully ready to go by then. He's really athletic. he would be a little bit more undersized, I think, right now. Denbo's, I mean, all of 6'1", 220, looks like he's bulked up a little bit. Cameron Jones has been rehabbing, so he's still kind of getting back into shape. But he is really athletic, and you're going to have, between him and Tidy Armin, you're going to have, A, a pretty good competition next year for two outside linebacker spots in most likelihood between them, J.C. Rispress, Jimmy Phillips, all those guys. And then, it's going to be a really contested battle there for those spots. But this year, it's probably Trevor Denbo's job. And then we'll see if Tidy Armin gets eligible. He transferred from Oklahoma, like I said, but he needs a waiver to play right away. But those two guys will play a lot this year, and I think that they're good depth. They're guys that really want to win that battle as well. So the linebacking group, I mean, you look at it, it's veteran and it's thin. It's thin after this year in a way, in terms of definitely in terms of experience, but there's talent there this year. I mean, there's depth at the linebacker position, and that was produced by the defensive staff and, the whole staff just looking at the roster and saying, okay, how can we create some depth here? And they moved Cameron Jones and Trevor Denbo down, and then they add Tidy Armin from the transfer portal. And all of a sudden, your linebacker room looks totally different. So it's in a good spot right now. I think obviously looking way ahead, recruiting that position, you've got Isaiah Kelly and Travion Sneed in this class. And who knows, maybe they're down to move some other players around and create some more depth next year for that position. But right now, the linebacker depth is probably, outside the defensive line, probably the deepest on the defense. I mean, you go three deep of guys in the middle with Richard Moore, Richard McBride, Brian Holloway, and Preston Ellison. And then you got Delano Robinson, Trevor Denbo, J.C. Rispress, Jimmy Phillips, Cameron Jones, and Tidy Armin. That's pretty salty in terms of depth right there. And all those guys have played outside of Tidy Armin and Preston Ellison to an extent, but he's played too. So it's a good group. I think that's a position where it can really boom if Trevor Denbo steps up in a big way this year. But at the end of the day, you have steady guys in Richard Moore and Richard McBride and Delano Robinson to kind of shoulder the load. But Trevor Denbo, he steps up. Defense is in a lot better shape in 2020 with that move from safety to linebacker. So with that, guys, we're going to wrap up this podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Hope you guys have a great, safe weekend. And thanks for listening to this edition of the Pony Stampede podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.